All right, Brother Bobby Stansfield, would you please come to the pulpit? He's going to preach this morning. We'll not have a special today. We've got some sickness in the church, and so we'll just, unless you'd like me to sing a special, I could sing Over the Rainbow or Old Rugged Cross or something along those lines, but what was that song you want me to sing? Way Far Away?
Far, Far Away.
All right. Brother Bobby Stansfield is a good friend of mine. We've only known each other for a couple of years, maybe three or four, not too long. But, you know, there are some people that you don't need to know very long that become your good friends. And he and his family have become our good friends. And we've just gone to a lot of meetings together. And he's just, when you see Brother Bobby, that's what you see. Yeah. He's Brother Bobby. He's not mahogany. He's ponderosa pine. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Bobby, you preach this morning.
Amen. I think that's better than alderwood, isn't it? I don't know.
Alderwood?
Yeah, well, that's harder. Man, thank you. I appreciate that introduction, my friend. I appreciate and love your pastor. He's my friend. We've laughed a lot. Amen. And I don't know if he's laughing at me or the other way around. But anyways, he's a blessing. He's a blessing. Him and his wife. I'm glad to have my wife, Tina, here with me. My son, Jake and Abby. And I'm glad that they came with me. They didn't put up a big struggle, but I got them to come. But no, it's a blessing. We always enjoy it when I just can't really go out of my church and preach in another church without them. And when I do, I just feel like it's just not right. But thank you all for having us. And thank you for your commitment to missions. And we need that today. We need home missions. We need foreign missions. We need to keep the wheels turning. I would like to say that today is my granddaughter's fourth birthday. And I'm anticipating calling her today. And she's a little upset because we're not going to be there, but we're going to have another birthday party for her in Coeur d'Alene. My daughter lives in Moses Lake with her and my other grandchild, my little grandson. So they're a blessing. Say amen.
Amen.
I mean, if you got grandchildren, I mean, they're God's reward for not killing your own. Praise the Lord. You know, before I was a grandparent, you know I don't look, I'm a young grandpa, amen. But, you didn't really understand it. You'd see these people all crazy about their grandkids, you know, just, yeah, my grandkids, they're the most wonderful thing. What got into them? Boy, it got into me. Man, you just love them, and then spoil them, and give them back, amen. But they're funny. Little kids are funny the way they do things, just seeing some things that they learn as they're growing up, just some things that children have learned. Let me share a few of them with you. That puppies still have bad breath after eating a Tic Tac. That's one of the things that children learn. Also, that they can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. That doesn't work. They also learn that you can't trust dogs to watch your food. And then also, when your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. And no matter how hard you try, you cannot baptize cats. I love this story. If you've heard it before, just act like you didn't. Amen. But it's called, it kind of sums it up about being a grandparent and all that. It says, the title of it's called The Reality of Life. It says, God created the mule. And he told him, you will be a mule. You will work constantly from dusk till dawn. You will carry heavy loads on your back. You will eat grass and you will lack intelligence. And you will live for 50 years. The mule answered and said, to live like this for 50 years is too much. Please give me no more than 20. And it was so. Then God created the dog and told him, you will hold vigilance over the dwelling of man, to whom you will be his greatest companion. You will eat his table scraps and live for 25 years. And the dog responded, Lord, to live for 25 years as a dog, it's too much. Please, no more than 10. And it was so. Then God created the monkey. And he told him, you are a monkey. You shall swing by your tail from tree to tree and act like an idiot. You will be funny and you shall live for 20 years. And the monkey responded, Lord, to live for 20 years as a clown of the world, please, Lord, no more than 10. And it was so. And then finally, God created man and told him, you are a man, the only rational being that walks the earth. You will use your intelligence to have mastery over the creatures of the world. You will dominate the earth and you will live for 20 years. And man responded, Lord, to be a man for only 20 years is too little. Please, Lord, give me the 30 years the mule refused, the 15 years the dog refused, and the 10 years the monkey rejected. And it was so. And so God made man to live for 20 years as a man. Then marry and live 30 years like a mule working and carrying heavy loads on his back. Then he is to have children and to live 15 years as a dog, guarding his house and eating the leftovers after the pantry is empty. And then in his old age, he is to live 10 years as a monkey, acting like a clown to amuse his grandchildren. A lot of truth to that little story. Well, this morning I wanted to just challenge you in the Word of God about missions and serving the Lord. And I'm going to ask a question before we stand and read the text. And the question is, have you ever had to just get by on very little? You might say, well, this is America. Do you know what the economy is like right now? I know the answer. But have you ever just had to really just, you know, you just get by on very little? And you know, you might have the attitude or might have said that, listen, I'm just scraping the bottom of the barrel. Well, I'm going to share with you a story of a woman that was scraping the bottom of the barrel. And this woman lived in a time of great dark time in the nation of Israel. And her resources was... really, she was down to the last handful of meal, and it looked like all hope was lost, and it was very dark, and she was just literally scraping the bottom of the barrel. And you might be here today and you say, I can identify with that woman. How in the world am I going to tithe on my income? How am I going to give to missions or increase my missions? I'd be lucky to even make it next week and the end of the month paying my bills and so on and so forth. Well, let me challenge you this morning to open your heart. And I believe that this message will help you. I really do. So if you'll stand with me and we'll turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And in between this miracle that we're going to see, it was preceded by another miracle of Elijah and the miracle of Elijah being at the brook Cherith, and there the Lord commanded ravens to feed him, and he gave him water to drink out of the brook, and in verse 7 of 1 Kings chapter 17, it says, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. We know why there wasn't, because of the prediction of the prophecy that he said in verse 1, that Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, behold, for whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And his word, he said, there won't be no rain. And there wasn't no rain at the time appointed. And then the other miracle in chapter 17 is the the raising of the widow's son. But in between this is the feeding of the widow and her son. And that great story, we'll pick it up in verse 8. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, that's Elijah, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he was come to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a little morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Father, we come before you this morning asking you to bless the preaching of your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that each and every individual here this morning will give you permission to speak to their hearts. Lord, there are no doubt many needs that need to be fulfilled today. But the greatest need of this congregation today, Lord, would be one that's never trusted you as their personal Savior. They're just not 100% sure if they were to die today, they'd go to heaven. And I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, that they'd get saved. And for your servants, Lord, that are struggling with some things, and your people, I pray that you'd speak to their hearts. We'd be careful to just step back and give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In your name, Jesus, we pray and under your precious blood. And amen, and thank you for standing. So we see here that in the Word of God here that Elijah predicts a drought, and then God calls him out of there where he's at, and then we find him at the brook being... drinking of the brook and being fed of the ravens. And it was no doubt just a dark, dark time that was going on. Then we see as the story starts, and then in verse 9 it says, and then after the word of the Lord came to him and said, get down to Zarephath, down to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Now, anytime that you're in the midst of a drought, it's indeed a hard time for everybody. But it's compounded if you were a widow. And then not just to be a widow, but have a child to care for. See, in that day, a widow would have to literally spend all day just to get resources for just food that day. And then the next day, she would start all over again. And you would think that if God was going to send his servant to somebody, it would not be a poor widow woman. You would think that he would send him to someone that had more resources, maybe a bigger house or more food. But that isn't the way the Lord works. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Surely, surely God would not send him to somebody of this state. But that's what the Lord did. And verse 10 says, and he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. she was there just gathering enough fuel, as she says, to go on for one last meal for her and her son. And then she was going to die. That was it. She was at the bottom. She was at the bottom. If I could say it like this. She had no ability beyond that one last meal to not only take care of herself and her son, let alone the prophet. She had no ability. And the Bible says here that he called unto her, and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And then it says, as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. What was he asking for? He was asking for everything that she had. And as she was going, you know, it had to be a great challenge for her. And it is with us. Maybe this week and this month with missions, you've been challenged on your missions commitment, or you've been challenged to give to missions. Well, the Lord's going to always be challenging you. And it's just part of the Christian experience. But one thing we do know, that God had already spoke to her heart about taking care of the prophet. We will see in verse 9, it says, arise and get to the Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And then the Bible says this. It says, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. The Lord had already told her that you're going to have to take care of this prophet when he comes. The Lord said, I've already commanded her. He had already commanded her to sustain him. Now, all that she did, being she didn't have any ability, was to obey the command from the Lord. When the time came. You know, we as Christians have commands in the Bible. And the command is to go and to preach the gospel to all nations. And in doing that, we ought to be a part of that some way. We either ought to be going or sending. That's just part of Christianity. And God had already commanded her to do this. And you know, she could have just stepped back and said, well, you know, I'm going to wait till we get past this drought. Hey, I'm going to wait for the next 4 years until the economy gets better. Man, I was hoping it would get better last election. Anyhow, what are you waiting for? You know, many folks today say, well, you know what? I want to go, or I want to be part of going. I want to be part of sending. But I got to wait until some other things work out for me. I got to take care of some problems first. Let me tell you something. This woman had some problems. She was destitute. She was down to her last meal. She was scraping the bottom of the barrel. I think obedience is a very important part of the Christian experience, or the most important part of it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. Listen, there ought to be no debate about what we're supposed to do as children of God. Number one thing that God wants is your body. He needs your body so you can serve him. He doesn't want you to pollute your body. Amen. So you can serve him. He doesn't want you to put things into your body that's going to shorten your life. He doesn't want you to put you things in your body that's going to affect your spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Amen. Don't put anything in your body that's going to dilute your being and your conscience and your walk with the Lord. I just really struggle with Christians that believe that it's okay to partake of things in the world. Don't you know I'm free? I'm free in Christ. Therefore, the Lord has made me free. I'm free indeed. You are free, but you're still a servant. And it's not wise to do things to yourself and to your spirit. Listen, young people, if you want to think it's okay to go out and partake of drugs and alcohol and think it's not going to affect you, it's going to affect you. And you need to be obedient to the word of God. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. And the Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. Then he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You got to be careful, not only what you put into your body, but what you're listening to. And what you're saying and what you're hearing. We live in a contemporary Christian culture today that is steeped with wickedness. How in the world do you think it's okay to go to a Bible study and take alcohol and get drunk? Let me tell you something. If you're a part of anyone's a part of that, you ought to get away from that stuff. You say, oh, Brother Stanford, you only like that because you were a former alcoholic. I was for 30 years. You say, oh, you only like that because you got a big chip on your shoulder. Let me tell you something. You start burying loved ones. You start burying your dad. You start burying your brother. You start burying your other brother. That'll kind of give you an attitude about alcohol and drugs. Because it'll just, if you're not obedient to the word of God, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you there longer than you wanted to stay, and make you pay more than you ever intended to pay. That's what sin does. It just takes. It never gives back. I was at, my mother passed away, and she was the only family member in my immediate family that didn't pass away because of drugs and alcohol. And I seen my nephews there, and I seen my brother-in-law. And we were talking, and they brought up the subject about alcohol, and I said, yeah, all it does is take. And I looked at my nephews in the eye like I looked my sons in their eye. I said, go down that road. Let me tell you something. You flirt with the road and you start taking one drink. You start dating the world. You start partaking it. You say, hey, brother, I can have one and that'll be good. Well, for a Christian at best, that's a stumbling block. And then pretty soon you're going to become contaminated. Be not drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. The only thing that you can do in excess in the Bible is be filled with the Spirit of God. And it's not just with alcohol, it's with anything. It's with food or anything. And you got to be obedient, you know. And listen, God already commanded this woman to do it, and all she had to do was obey. She had a choice to obey. It was up to her. But James Butler said this about obedience. He said this, and I really like this. I wrote it down. He says, obedience to duty is always the best way to obtain help from God. Crisis can be conquered. Difficulties can be surmounted. Problems can be solved. And great needs can be met if we will do what God has commanded. But alas, so few obey. So few do their duty. So instead of conquering, they are conquered. Instead of surmounting difficulties, they are overcome by difficulties. Instead of solving problems, they only make their problems more complex. And instead of having their needs met, their needs only become greater. The Bible says, here's you the way, walk in it. And this woman, all she had to do was obey the will of God. I never finished reading Romans 2:1-2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's what we just ought to do. There shouldn't be a debate about all this other stuff. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I want to be in God's will above all else, doing His will. I've heard it said like this. It says, the will of God is like the headlights of a car, in that they give enough light so that we can see far enough ahead to drive safely. But they do not show us the whole road ahead. And I say amen to that. I mean, when I got saved, we started a church. I got saved in 92. We started Solid Rock in 1996. And, excuse me, I was able to pastor the church for 6 years. And when I left, it was great. Probably great for them. Anyways, no. But if the Lord would have showed me in 1996 what was going to happen in 97, 98, 99, 2000, 2001, 2000, I would have chickened out for sure. I said, there's no way. I'll go as far as saying this. When the Lord called us to Foundation Baptist Church in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho in 2007, if the Lord would have showed me what was going to happen this last 5 years, I'd have said, no, somebody else can punch that ticket. But that isn't the way the Lord works. He only gives you what you can handle. And all He wants you to do is just step out on faith and trust Him, saying, I know I'm in the will of God, no matter what happens, and Lord, just help me. And that's what He does. And that's what He did with this widow woman. Now, she wasn't without asking some questions. He said to her, go, fetch me a little water. Then after that, she started for the water. It says, bring me a morsel of bread. Then after that, He said, make me a little cake. And then this is what she says here. And in verse 12, and she said, as the Lord, the God liveth, I have not a cake, but I have a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's all the fuel she needed to cook her last meal, was a couple of sticks. But listen to the way Elijah answers her. It was great. Look at what he says. He said unto her, fear not. Fear not. You don't have to be afraid. Just trust and obey. That's the only way. Just do. Listen. She had no ability to do that, to fix it. And I'm glad Elijah didn't tell her when she says, listen, this is all I got. He didn't say, well, bless your heart, that's okay. We'll call up the social services and we'll get this all worked out. No. He said, fear not. Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. Take care of the man of God first. Listen, this is the word of God. Take care of it. She had no ability to do it. And let me tell you something. This would not work today in the culture we live in. What the culture we live in, well, psychologists, well, they preach a false philosophy anyways of life. Amen. They say that a man's needs must be met first before he meets the needs of others. That how can he help someone else when his basic necessities of life are lacking? It doesn't make any human sense. And many today have the same excuse for serving the Lord. They'll say, well, you know, I'll serve the Lord, but I, you know, got to wait till the economy improves, or my bank account improves, or other things improve in my life. Well, you're never really going to get to the point to where everything's just perfect. I really like, which is a great section of scripture for Faith Promise Missions, is 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. The Bible says this, it says, moreover, brethren, due to the width of the grace of God bestowed unto the churches of Macedonia. Now listen to this. Listen to these folks, how they serve the Lord. It says, how in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying with us and much entreating that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. These folks gave out of deep poverty. These folks served the Lord, did the Lord's work out of affliction. A great trial of affliction. But they did it joyfully. And verse 5 says this, this is the key. And it says, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. That's the key. All this widow woman had to do was to be willing to just obey the word of God and to be obedient to the word of God and leave the rest with the Lord. It didn't make any human sense. Listen, she had no ability. And she could have used many excuses, but she didn't. And we see here the sad fact today is, you know, we could probably do a lot more for missions than what we do. Personally, I could probably do more for missions than I do. And, you know, when the, you know, someone has said, you know, as far as church work and getting involved in ministries, you know, Brother Charles, where's Brother Charles? They're gonna run you over after the service to help with that new junior church thing. Amen? Come on, brother, where's your faith? Say amen. But really, isn't that what it should be? Amen? Being obedient? I mean, do we believe that we are in a church today? Amen? A local New Testament Baptist church ordained of God, amen? Biblical, yes, follow the Bible, amen? And a pastor that loves the Lord and that's leading the church, amen? You know, what if your pastor came to you today and says, listen, the Lord laid it on my heart, I've been praying, I want you to do something. What would be your reaction? First reaction would be, what? What is it? Well, wait a second. Hey, man, he prayed about it, amen? It's a pastor, amen? But, you know, I'd probably do the same thing, you know, be honest with you. You know, shouldn't, you know, it's, you know, they read statistics. I try to read statistics once in a while, and it says that today that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It's a lot higher than that in my church. It's more like 10% of the people do 90% of the work. And you know what the fact is about it? And, you know, just getting back to the announcement of, did you guys listen? He announced that twice. Amen? I'm trying to help you, brother. You give me that later on that payoff. No, no. But see, the sad fact of it, the fact of serving the Lord is, listen, these people that are really working in the church, and don't feel sorry for them. They're doing it for the Lord. And they're going to get their reward in heaven. And they're happy to do it. They're happy to do it. And you know what? Most of them serve the Lord out of an empty barrel all the time anyways. I don't know anybody that says, well, I have a bunch of extra time on my hands. I certainly don't. Amen. Most people are pretty busy. They have commitments and everything. But let me, if God has laid something on your heart to give to missions and to be involved in the ministry, he'll provide the time and he'll make it happen and he'll bless your soul. And you know what? You'll do whatever it takes to do that. Amen. I got people, you know, I got this. People I love and I appreciate that are part of my church, and I want them involved in ministry. And they say, preacher, you know, we want to do this. I'll say, great. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the first thing is you need to join the church. Well, I won't do that. Well, if God laid it on your heart, you ought to be willing to join the church. Amen. This woman wasn't waiting around for other things to change to see how it was sorted out. She was just going to say, hey, she wasn't waiting for the drought to pass. She was just willing to serve the Lord. Listen, she wasn't waiting for someday. She wasn't waiting for someday. She was willing to just do it. You know, the Bible says that that we should just simply trust the Lord. And sometimes, and listen, not sometimes, all the time, it's going to be a step of faith. to trust the Lord. Whatever it is, if it's working in the junior church, if it's working on the bus route, if it's being a Sunday school teacher, or if it's simply just, hey, being faithful to all the services, you got to trust the Lord. The Bible says that in trusting the Lord, and this woman in this story had to trust the Lord with her last little bit of meal, and she didn't debate it. She didn't, you know, she did ask the question about, well, you know, this is all I got. But she just trusted in the word of God and stepping out. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 and 7 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. Amen. Amen. There's the key. Quit trying to figure it all out. Yeah. Lean not into thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Just trust him. And most people, when they trust in the Lord and they're serving the Lord, they're serving God out of an empty barrel. When I got saved in a church, at that time, he was a church planting pastor. At that time, he had four churches started out of this little Baptist church. He had four works going. Today, two of them works are still alive and going that he started. It's amazing. And the two that survived out of the four were quite different churches. Now, I got saved. I didn't have enough sense to go off the Bible. I probably should have. But I just got my work done through extension and this and that. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to start pastoring. I just pastored. My son's in Bible college. I didn't, right now, he doesn't feel called into the ministry, but you know, I believe he's laying a great foundation. I'm not against education. I'm for it. Amen. But sometimes in circumstances of life, it doesn't work out for those that can have formal education. So I just really got under my pastor, started learning the Word of God and learning how to preach and learning how to study the Bible. And he immediately started sending me out to these works and helping with these works. Well, the two works that survived over this last 20 years, they were really different from each other. And I actually was part of both of them getting started and getting going. And the one church was in Hagerman, Idaho. And the way it was started with some families that, they had a lot of resources. They had a lot of money. Matter of fact, one man put up the money to buy a building and so on, but he did make it apparent that he was to be reimbursed for that money and so on and so forth. And it just seemed like that the families that started the church and put up the money to get it going, it just seemed like they always had a tight grip on it, on things the way they were done. Now, we don't do it like that, or we don't do it like that, and, real formal, maybe they should have called it the Memorial Baptist Church. I don't know. But anyways, it was, there was a difference. Good people, love the Lord, but just kind of, wanting to control it. But then there was another church that was started up in the mountains 35 miles north of Gooding in Fairfield, Idaho, a town about 400. Now that church, they didn't have nothing but the Spirit of the Lord. I'm telling you, these people were crazy enough to love God and to start a church with nothing. And they met everywhere. One time they even met for several weeks in the park. They didn't have a building. They just sat in the park. And then I preached my first sermon in the Grange Hall there. Some of them aren't still over that. Amen. They lived through it. Amen. And then I remember one meeting there that was just, I'll never forget it. And it's Ken Bliven was preaching a revival. And one of the members had this little bakery shop where they bake cakes and donuts and bread. And in the back of this old bakery, they had this 12 by 14 room, and they had a revival in it. Mercy, it looked like the place was going to fall down on you. But that preacher got up there and he preached that night with power. Amen. He preached, and it was literally, I felt like the rafters were shaking up there. I said amen till I was hoarse. Say amen. It was a wonderful time. That night of that revival, the sheriff in town got saved. And his son. And today, Ron Gear is the pastor of Foothills Baptist Church. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that one church had everything that man could offer. Finances, resources, beautiful building and everything. I'm not against that kind of stuff. But the other church really didn't have anything. And they were literally scraping the bottom of the barrel. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord was there. And it was a powerful, powerful thing. In 2 Chronicles 32:8 says, with him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh his flesh his arm, but whose heart departeth from the Lord. We need to trust the Lord and not in our own human reasoning. This woman gave all that she had for the Lord. The question would be is, what's keeping us to giving us our all? We'll get by, amen. We'll get by serving the Lord. We'll get by trusting in Him. We'll get by just simply reaching down in and scraping the bottom of the barrel. My mother and father got divorced when I was 10 years old. They had 9 kids. My mother just passed away 3 weeks ago. So my older brother moved in with my dad, and then my mom had 8 kids on her hands, 4 boys and 4 girls. And she was never regular after that. Amen. She did the best she could. And I remember she wanted to take us camping. That was one of the things she, you know, my dad was out of the house. My dad was an alcoholic, and she would take us camping. She would take us on little trips and stuff. She had this old 1950 Willys wagon Jeep, and she took this Jeep and she took us to the ocean there and my mom didn't have nothing. I mean, hey, we were poor. I mean, you know, I remember going down to the grocery store with food stamps. I wasn't ashamed. Amen. We were getting some food. But I remember coming back to Riverside, and my mom wasn't the most dedicated Christian, but she did trust Christ as her Savior, and she did try to take us to church. And I remember her teaching me this lesson on faith. You know, the Bible says about faith in Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And one of the greatest faith lessons she taught us, and her kids were, she taught me. I don't know if the other ones got it, but I got it. And I remember I was probably 11 years old, and she was driving that old Willie's Jeep, and she says, now, you guys need to start praying. I said, why is that? She says, we're about out of gas, and we got a long way to get home. And she coined this phrase, running on God's gas. Listen, we did not run out of gas. We just, and she was sweating. She said, just pray. We got to get home. We don't, she didn't have no money for gas. And she was running on, got 1950 Willie's Jeep wagon, and we got home. Well, as I became an adult, I wanted to walk like faith like my mother. And one time, I decided my wife and I were going to run on God's gas. You know, God always gives you a good wife to remind you of things. And as we were traveling to Southern California, headed to Las Vegas through Ely, Nevada from Idaho in a 1987 Topaz, and as I passed the last gas station, my wife says, now, wasn't that the last station before Vegas? I said, listen, we're going to be all right. And I'm telling you what, I was sweating. But it got to the point to where we hit E, and I was saying, we're running on God's gas. I said, isn't it wonderful to live by faith? She didn't think it was such a great deal. She was saying, what are you going to do? I said, have faith, amen. Trust the Lord, amen. And literally, when we got to that first off-ramp to the first gas station there, and I crossed the bridge, she was out. And we coasted into the gas station, amen. Faith. Trust in the Lord. I wrote this down. J. Oswald Sanders said this. He says, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She had no ability to take care of it. And it doesn't matter with God about your ability. We got enough people with ability. We got ability running over. You just ask them. They'll tell you how great they are. Amen? We don't need ability. You know what we need? We need like this woman. She had no ability, but she had this. She was available. That's what God's interested in, your availability. You say, well, hey, I don't know nothing. How am I going to help you? Nothing. I don't know nothing about kids. I don't know nothing about being a part of a junior church or being part of a Sunday school or part of a... Listen, are you available? That's all the Lord's looking for. You say, I can't give to missions. Well, you know what? You're in a good place to start. Because that's what the Lord's looking for. He's looking for some folks that are not going to depend on their wisdom and their knowledge, but just trust Him and just be available to what the Lord wants. You know, when you see this story here, you can see how God provides when those that step out on faith, those that will trust the Lord. You see here in verse 14, it says that after Elijah told her to fear not, to take care of him, and to make him, listen, and it's interesting what he said in verse 13. He says, bring me a little cake first, and then bring it to me, and then after that, make for thee and thy son. Remember, she only had enough for her and her son to begin with. That's faith. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Listen, God always provides. And God always makes a way. You might not be able to figure it out, but He wants you to trust Him. Verse 16, it says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. You know why? God always keeps His promise. If God's laying something on your heart, as far as missions or service, let's say He's going to take care of you. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. He will also do it. The application for the message is simple. You just got to trust the Lord. You just got to trust Him. You have to realize that you don't have any ability in and of yourself. But you just simply need to be available. And stand upon His word and trust Him. Trust Him to do the rest. And He will. And He wants to. You know why? So He can get the glory. I'm going to close with this portion of Scripture in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 26 says, for you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Now, verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according to as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know why God wants to work a miracle in your life? Is that He might get the glory. That He might get the glory. Father, we thank You so much for Your word, and we thank You for this church, and we thank You for their tremendous, tremendous commitment that they have made to missions, to spread the gospel all over America and all over the world. What a sacrifice. But Lord, they're not done yet. So Lord, I pray this morning as You will work Your work in them. And again, Lord, we'll echo, as we said earlier, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know You, anyone that's not saved, Anyone that's never trusted you as their personal Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them. And that indeed would be the miracle of miracles, that you would save their soul and take them to heaven when they die. What a blessing. What a blessing. Lord, be with us this time during this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to ask everybody to stand as we enter into our invitation period. This is a time when you and I do business with the Lord. As we listen to the preacher preach from the Word of God and we read a little bit of the Bible while we're listening, we have to come to a place in our life where we make up our minds that we're going to start doing some business with the Lord. We're going to start responding to how He has spoken to our hearts. And that's the biggest challenge in the world, I really believe, is reading the Bible, having the Bible preached to us, and then you and I responding to what God has given us in the book. That's so important. And there's so many times that it's just very simple and go home. Very easy to do that. I don't think that's what God wants. America wasn't built by people that just closed the book and went back to their log cabins. It was built by people that trusted what God said and put it into practice, just like that widow woman that Brother Bobby preached about. And so this morning, I've got one basic idea for the invitation, because next Sunday, if the Lord tarries his coming, next Sunday we'll collect up the mission cards. They're not signed by anybody in the church. They're just what you believe God wants you to give for the next year to missions. And then we'll add all of that up and we'll have an idea of what we can do for missions. But because that's next Sunday, I think this morning would be a good time for us. Maybe just step out if you like and just come and pray and ask God what he'd have you to give next year. I think by this time, we probably got a pretty good idea what he wants us to do. But you know, sometimes I felt very assured of what God wanted me to do, but during the last message, God spoke to my heart and said, change it. Change that amount. There's more than you can do. There's something else you can do. And then I thought of this illustration. And I've told it before, but I'll tell it again. When I was a little boy, we would go to a cottage for 2 weeks every year. My dad would have his vacation, and we'd go to a cottage on one of the Finger Lakes in New York State. And from the time I was 6 months old, we went there every summer. And when I started to learn to swim, and I was able to swim at a very early age, but I couldn't dive off the board. I was just definitely afraid to dive. And my dad would get out in the water, and he'd stand there, maybe this high, and he'd stand there, and he'd say, Ricky, jump. 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 And boy, I tell you, I'd stand there, and well, I'd want to jump, but I was definitely afraid. He says, I'll catch you. I'll catch you. I will catch you. Finally, I jumped believing that he would catch me. And I've been jumping ever since. What I'm trying to say is this, that's pretty much what the Lord says to us. Just jump and trust me and I'll catch you. Yeah. You'll never go to the bottom. And every single time since I've been born again, ever since the day I trusted Christ in 1969, I've been trying to trust the Lord. And I will admit that there's times when it's tough. You just don't jump. You turn around, walk back to the shore. Get off that dock quick. But when I have jumped, he's never missed. He's caught me every single time. And so I want you to be serious and I want you to pray, because there's people around the world that have never heard the name Jesus. And there's people, I'm sure, in Helena, Montana that have never had a clear presentation of the gospel. Never had a clear presentation, and they need to be saved. And we can do something, and we can affect this world for Christ. You know, I'm not too concerned with politics. or the armies or navies or air forces. They got their job to do, but we got our job to do as believers. And this is God's army, and he wants us to do a job. That message was tremendous, Brother Bobby. That's a good message. We need to trust the Lord like that widow woman did. So I want you to come during our invitation. We'll be singing a song, and maybe you got some decision or something else besides missions you need to pray about. Talk to the Lord. This is maybe your time to come. And maybe you need to be saved. You've never been saved. Come and say, Pastor, I want to know about this. I want to go to heaven when I die. And I'll show you how you can get saved this morning. I'll show you what the Bible says about it. But let this be your time to do business with God. Amen? What are we going to sing, Brother Charles? Number 40 in our song books. We'll sing that song, but if you'd like to come right now, don't worry about the song. Just step out and you just come.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way.
You step out and come. Trust the Lord this morning. Do business
while
with God. If he's spoken to your heart, do business with the Lord. Trust and obey. There's no other way.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus.
Trust and obey.
Smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a
step out and come this morning.
Not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. To trust and obey, not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but it's blessed if we trust and
come on, folks, trust the Lord. Ask him what he'd have you to do.
But to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
I'm going to ask you to be seated for a moment. These are being dealt with. Take a minute while the Lord is dealing with a couple of hearts out there. Every time somebody comes and preaches, you know, I'm jealous. I sit back there and I listen and I say, man, I'd like to be up there preaching right now. You know, Bobby's done a good job this morning. He's preached from his heart. Bobby always gives you his heart more than his mind. That's good, too. I'm not sure what's out there, but it's good to have. Pastors that build these churches around the globe, we don't give to them because we have it. We give out of our hearts and just trust the Lord and supply. He does everything. This is a little church in town. This is not a big church.
church has given $1.2 million to missions as of last year. All by faith.
Yeah.
All above what we use to operate the church. It's all by faith. It just goes out. We do not keep a dime of it. It all goes out. $6,400 a month. It goes out to these men and women around the world. God blesses and honors it so much. When you're unselfish and you give to the Lord, it's amazing how He blesses that. And missions is one of the only things God can bless when it's done by faith. God honors that every single time. God will never let you down. When Bobby preached about that woman, my goodness, what a story, Brother Bobby. What an illustration of a woman who gave by faith. And this is a wonderful time. And I'm so glad you even come to church this morning. You come to church by faith. You get up out of bed Sunday morning and say, you know, I'm going to go to church and God's going to speak to my heart. And I want God to speak to my heart today. I'm going to church. You know, God does every single time. He spoke to my heart as you preached today. He just spoke to my heart and told me different things that I needed, things that He gives me out of the Scripture. And it's just wonderful how that God does that. I can't think about how to figure it out. I can't figure it out, but God does every single time. And I'm just so glad to look out and see all the families here, to see faithful people come Sunday after Sunday. You're just a good people. Just like I'm a good pastor. When I can be better, we can all be better for the Lord, can't we? We can all do more for the Lord. So as God's dealing with these couple up here and these folks up here this morning, I just wanted to say that because you're a good people, you're a good church, you're a good giving church. And I just want you to really trust what the Lord gives you on your heart. And fill out that card next week and just give it. Say, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but just trust the Lord. And He'll provide every single time. And by the way, if He doesn't provide, then you don't have it to give, so you don't worry about it. But He will provide every single time. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here today. I want you to come back tonight. Ray, would you come back tonight? You don't know, huh? Did you ride the bus? Good girl. Well, you come back tonight if your daddy will bring you. Maybe your mommy will bring you. Would you ask him? That a girl. All right. I want you to stand. We're going to be dismissed, but I'm going to ask you to leave the auditorium quiet because these are being dealt with. Back door. Brother Bill, would you pray and ask God to dismiss us, bring us back tonight?
Good Lord, Heavenly Father, just thank you for such a great message. Just thank you for letting us know where we are in relation to you. Just please give us a good afternoon and bring us back tonight. I ask and pray in Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thanks for coming here.